God's good, right? There we go. Okay, hey, we are in the series called Jesus Is, and we've looked through the Bible to see that Jesus is a few things. He is, in fact, God. He is exalted above all other. He is first. He is creator. He is fully God and fully man. He came from on high. He emptied himself, became flesh, and humbled himself. Today we look at Jesus and see that Jesus is a servant. And today we as people, we strive in our society, especially in America, we strive to be first. Our society pushes the mindset to be first. I'll give you an example of that. Went to a birthday party this past week. And somebody that I thought was a friend of mine, you know, asked me, he said, "Jeff, let's race in this obstacle course." Not knowing that he'd already done it, he knew all the tricks and that I was going to end up with these burns all over my legs and stuff and my arms, right? Probably pushed me in the middle of this thing. But, all I got to say is, Eddie, in reality, I won because to be last is first. So I just want to throw that out there. But no, I'm just kidding. Man, I told him, I said, "Eddie, if you beat," he made a big deal about it. He said, "Guys," he gave everybody attention. He goes, "I'm racing the pastor, everybody." And I said, "Eddie, you better not beat me, or you'll be a sermon illustration." Let that be a lesson. No, I'm just kidding. I love Eddie, man. I love Eddie, man. We had a lot of fun. But this to be first really isn't a new mentality. It's not something that we, just since America has been founded, has struggled with. Right? Society has struggled with that for a long time. In fact, we can go back to Jesus' time, and we see that the disciples struggled. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I am grateful that we have the examples of the disciples, because these dudes hung out with Jesus and struggled all the time. It makes me feel a little bit better, right? And great examples, and we get to look at people in the Bible that God says, you know, these are men after God's heart, like David. That dude struggled a lot, but God used him, and he was still after God. But these disciples, they struggled with the same thing. Mark 9:34, it says the disciples were discussing which one of them was the greatest. Right? Didn't say, how can I help? How can I do this? Which one of us is the greatest? They were seeking positions of honor. They were discussing who is better than the other. Jesus tells them, if anyone wants to be first, Eddie, catch this part, he shall be last. I'm kidding, man. Yeah. Yeah. If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Right? Different mentality, different way of thinking. He's trying to reset their way of thinking. This world tries to reset our way of thinking away from Christ. And Christ is saying, nah, let's reset our way of thinking. The disciples showed through their actions and through their words that they wanted to be first, they wanted to be the greatest. And Jesus is saying this. Jesus is saying, you want to be first, you want to be the greatest, then be last. Be a servant. Now, self-confession from the pulpit. I'm not real good at this, right? Because here I am trying to show Eddie that I'm still winning, even though I lost twice. But, you know, this is something that speaks to all of us, right? In Mark 10, I just want to say that so you guys don't think I'm just, this is a message for me too, right? In Mark 10, we see this attitude again. James and John, they request that they can be seated on the right and one on the left in his glory, right? In his kingdom. Again, these are positions of honor. They're asking Jesus to give them the closest positions to him in his kingdom. And then the other 10 disciples become greatly displeased, right, with these two men. Probably not for righteous reasons. They're not probably coming along saying, "Now, dear brothers, this is not how we should act." I'm going back to Mark 9, whenever they're like, "We want to be first. And here you are getting to Jesus before we do." So we see that their mindset, their way of thinking, even walking with Jesus is this way. So we know that we're going to struggle with that. Jesus says in response to them wanting to sit there, he says, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Church, let's get this morning, okay? Let's get this. In response to their chase for the top, to be first and to be great, Jesus says that whoever wishes to become great should be a servant. That's some crazy way of thinking right there, right? Whoever wishes to be first shall be slave or servant of all. He then hits them with this truth. At the very end, in verse 45, Jesus says, you know, I'm the first of all things. But I didn't come I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom. Mark that down this morning. Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. As Christians, we are followers of Christ. He is our teacher. We're disciples of his. And we're to follow what he has done. And I bet for those disciples, this was a little bit of dose of reality, right? But guess what? For us, it's a little dose of reality. If we're honest with ourselves, do we strive to be first or do we strive to serve? I know what I do, and I need help with that, right? This brings us to our main text today, John chapter 13. Beginning in verse 1 and 2, it says this, "Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, during supper, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him." So think about these next few verses as like the table being set for us, okay? Right, so we're beginning with the feast of the Passover. And the Passover really was a time of the Jewish people to celebrate their exile from Egypt. They had been in bondage and they were set free, and they're celebrating and remembering the protection of the Lord in a particular time whenever God gave them instruction to have your firstborn son, like his life's changed. This isn't a sermon about this, but so just very briefly, they were to paint, you know, their doors, right, with the lamb. And that's the idea of the Passover. So they were celebrating that time. Jesus knew that his hour had come. And we're going to talk a little bit more about his hour over the next 3 weeks. We're going to start a series called Unstoppable. And so we're going to start that actually in next week. Jesus knew it was about time for his ultimate sacrifice. He has been talking about it for a while, right? The time for the cross was here. Jesus was following his own timing, or the timing of people. He was following the timing of his heavenly Father. And we talked about last week how Jesus, you know, he emptied himself. He really lowered himself. He humbled himself. He became obedient to what the Father wanted. Being fully God, he did that. He knew God the Father was in control. And I'm going to tell you this, thinking about examples and how we follow Christ, Jesus followed the example of God. He knew that God was, or he followed the timing and the leadership of God the Father. Man, we need to be reminded of that God is in control. Now we have the setting, we have, you know, they're at this feast, the hour, and now we see that he loved his own to the end. Speaking of his disciples, this means that he loved to the end, meaning he loved to perfection. Can't even talk. He loved to perfection, to the fullest degree. Then in verse 2, we see more of what is going on. During the supper, it says the devil had already put in the heart of Judas, the son of Simon, to betray him. So the one that is going to betray Jesus has been with him, and he's present here. And he's already decided in his heart that he will betray Christ. In verse 3, we see that Jesus knew what was coming. He says this, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God." Last week we looked at that. God on high comes down, right? And we talked about him being exalted because of his sacrifice and because of what he did. Then the final piece of the table is set for us in verse 4. Jesus, he gets up from supper. He lays aside like his garments, He takes a towel and girds himself. He wraps himself with this thing. This is weird. Why is Jesus doing this in the middle? What in the world is he doing? What exactly is Jesus doing? Church, he's about to serve. God is about to serve people, right? What's significance about this? There's a few things. He's God. That's a big deal, right? And two, he's about to suffer. Check this out. This is a great, we have to get this. He's about to suffer on the cross, okay? But he chooses to serve others. Man, conviction right here, right? I mean, there are so many things that go on in our lives that we forget to serve. And Jesus is about to really, I mean, we don't know what suffering is compared to what Jesus did. And he's about to go through that. He knows what he's about to go through, and he still chooses to serve others. And Jesus served selfishly. So church, as an example, following his example, let's serve selflessly. Verse 5 says this, "Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded." Verse 6, "So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?'" This is a bit of a question. Peter sounds a little confused. Peter kind of gets to be the spokesman for the disciples a lot of times, right? And sometimes he gets them in trouble. But, you know, he and the disciples have just watched Jesus. You know, they're eating. He gets up. He lays aside his garments. He takes a towel, pours the water into the basin. And now he's washing and wiping the feet of his disciples. And to his disciples, this doesn't make sense. Okay? Washing the feet of another person is considered the job of not just a servant, not just a low servant, but the lowest of servants. This wasn't the job of their leader and their Lord. Think back to their mindset. They're not the leader or the Lord, and they're arguing who's going to be the greatest about of them. Jesus examples what he is talking about earlier. They're fighting to be the greatest, and now the greatest is becoming last, becoming low, and serving those that follow him. Crazy mindset. To them and to us, this is just a crazy way of thinking and acting. It doesn't make sense. I mean, think about, you know, I'm a basketball fan. Think about if Michael Jordan comes in here and washes my feet. Think about if the president comes and washes my feet, or a senator or the governor or whoever it is comes in here and serves me or serves you guys. That doesn't make sense, right? It just doesn't happen. So Peter asks, "Why in the world are you washing my feet?" Jesus responds in verse 7. He said, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I do you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter.'" In verse 8, Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Now, this is important that we understand this never word. This is talking about like never, ever, ever, right? Not now, not in eternity, not later, not any time. "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered and said, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Notice he doesn't say wash your feet, but he says, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." I feel like Peter challenges God a little here, and I'm sure that it's in good intent. Okay? I mean, we've read of Peter. We know, you know, we see what he does. We hear his heart. I don't think there's a bad intention there. He doesn't want God to stoop to that level, right, to wash their feet. But he doesn't fully understand. And I go back and I'm reminded of Matthew 16. There's a pretty familiar passage. Jesus has just asked his disciples, you know, "Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" Right? And Peter gives a great answer, which he says, "Yeah, man, you got that from God." And then Jesus starts telling his disciples of his upcoming suffering and his death. And his disciples, the followers of Christ, are still looking at Jesus of being like this reigning power, like this military leader, right? Excuse me. And Peter takes Jesus aside. Man, this guy's got some guts, right? He takes Jesus aside and really rebukes him. He said, "God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you." And this ended with Jesus saying, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter was really, with good intentions, was really going against the will of God. Now we see that again when Peter says, never shall you wash my feet. I believe that Peter is really saying that he's not worthy, right? This isn't for you, Jesus. I'm not worthy for you to wash my feet. But again, Jesus responds in the end of verse 8. He says, if I do not wash you, you have no part of me. And for us as readers, I'm not sure if it's quite clicking with Peter yet, but for us as readers, it's starting to become a little more clear. This feet washing was about being a servant. Okay? It was about being a servant. Jesus is giving the disciples an example of humble service. And we'll see that a little bit more here in a minute. A kind of service that he will want them to render to each other. But it wasn't just about being a servant. It was a little bit, it was quite much more than that. Jesus is telling Peter that if he doesn't wash him, you have no fellowship with Christ. Burr? You know, what are we talking about now, right? That's going to make my ears perk up a little bit. It's a reference to salvation. The washing is a symbolism to a spiritual cleansing, okay? 1 John 1:7 states that the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. And I don't think Peter is fully getting it, but he's starting to grasp something because he's like, okay, I'm not tracking with you quite, this what I'm feeling, right? I'm not tracking with you, Jesus, but I want fellowship with you, right? That's a great heart, right? I want fellowship with you. And I don't think he's quite getting it, but he's starting to understand. And we'll see in verse 9, he believes in Jesus, right? He believes, he wants that fellowship. In verse 9, Peter drastically changes course. Jesus says, if I don't wash you, there's no fellowship with me. And Peter changes his tune a little bit. Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. He does this 180, right? Not just like a 90 degree. He's like, you know, he's turning all the way around. He goes from, you shall never wash my feet, to wash all of me. I love those aha moments with God, right? By the way, I posted this on Twitter or Facebook or something, but I just love when God teaches us. You know, I'm studying to teach, and then God is just teaching me. It's awesome. He goes from, you'll never wash my feet, to wash all of me. Lord, Master, you know, the one that's above me, wash all of me. Peter wanted to have that fellowship with his Lord, with his Savior. His tune changes. Jesus, don't stop with my feet. Keep going, brother, right? Keep going. Jesus gives a little explanation in verse 10. He says this, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean. What's Jesus saying here? When someone is bathed completely, going back to that verse before, the blood of Jesus cleanses us all from sin. When someone is bathed completely, they're washed completely, they are completely clean. Again, salvation. The cleansing that Jesus does at salvation doesn't need to be repeated. Right? Jesus is big enough to save us once and for all. Right? Those that truly belong to Christ do not need a multiple cleansing. They don't need to be saved over and over and over and over again. Jesus is big enough to do it right the first time. Right? So, but we do need to remain in His light. Right? And in the will of God, we need to remain obedient to Him. So when we think about the feet washing, right, it's just like a repentance. It's stay abiding with Christ. Stay after me. Stay connected with me. Let my words teach you. Stay obedient. And there's something very important that we need to understand in these verses. Let's not miss this. Verse 10 through 11, right, we read this. He who has bathed needs only to bathe or to wash his feet. But it's completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. What's Jesus saying? Why is this important that he's saying this? He says that not all of you, to his disciples, are not all of you are clean. In other words, not all of you belong to me. Not all of you are in fellowship with me. Not everyone in this room with Jesus is a true follower of Christ. They weren't all in the family. Judas is in the room, but not part of the family. He's not clean. Jesus is not his Lord. Why is this important for us to hear? Judas was with Jesus for a long time. He did ministry with Jesus. He served with Jesus. But he didn't have fellowship with him. And we need to know this because just because we go to church, just because we do good things, just because we read our Bibles, doesn't make us part of the family of God. Okay? I'm not saying that you or I are the same as Judas. I'm not saying that just because we, or what I am saying is just because we call ourselves Christians and do Christian things does not make us Christians and followers of Christ. Judas was a disciple and did disciple things with Jesus. And Jesus says that Judas was not clean. He's not washed. He's not in fellowship with Christ. Why is this important to hear? Because we live in a city that says coexist. We live in a city that says, here's perfection, here we are, and take whatever path you want to get there. Judas must have just gone off on a different mountain, right? No. He didn't have fellowship with Christ. He didn't allow Christ to wash him clean. But I am grateful to God that once Christ saves us, man, we belong to Him. Verse 12 through 15. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you." So these disciples, really besides Jesus, you know, they're part of the family. He said, you know, you belong to me. They were in fellowship with him. They were washed. They were made clean by Jesus. And now, after Jesus had finished washing all of their feet, he asked them a question. He says, "Do you know what I have done to you?" Jesus goes on to teach them. You guys ready for this? Okay. If I, not me, Jesus says, if I am the Lord and the teacher, if I am the greatest, and I wash your feet, you too should wash one another's feet. This little yapping that you've done back here last chapter, well, Jesus didn't say last chapter, but you get what I'm saying, you know. You know, this little yapping that you did, arguing about who's going to do this, and you coming to me and asking me who's going to be here or here, wrong thought process, people, right? You too should wash one another's feet. He says that he has given them an example to follow. He is saying, now follow my example and serve. Serve one another. Be willing to serve one another. Here's a big frustration. I was having a conversation with somebody, or they were involved with a conversation with me, and you know, it's just sometimes these people are right, the people that don't know Christ, and they're turned away by people that are Christians, that are supposed to be Christ-like and followers of Jesus Christ, and they don't look anything like Jesus. Jesus did save us, but not so we could come in here and sit in our pew and not bring anybody with us and act however we want. Amen? Okay? We're to look like Jesus. And Jesus is saying, church, he's saying, Jeff, follow me. Take your pretty boy suit jacket off and get dirty. I'm not wearing a suit jacket. Okay? If we look throughout the life of Christ on earth, we see his example of serving. Here's some characteristics. Okay? Characteristics of serving. First, check this out. We see he served unannounced. Jesus didn't go, you know what? I'm going to get up. Hey, everybody, I'm about to serve you. Right? He didn't do that. What's the next one? I forgot. He says serve, or his characteristics is serve voluntarily. Right? I don't picture John say, psst, Jesus, this would be a good time for you to teach us and serve us, right? He didn't do that. Serve those that don't deserve it. Jesus washed the feet of the man that would betray him. I'm not there. right? Wow. Jesus knew that Judas had really been fake and that he sooner or later was going to come and, or he's going to leave them. He's going to go and fill his pockets and then come up to Jesus and kiss him. You know, betray him with a kiss. And the greatest of all washed his feet. Jesus served unannounced. Jesus served voluntarily, and he served those that didn't deserve it. And after that, after knowing that Jesus washed the feet of the dude that was going to betray him and really die for somebody like me, why do we struggle so much with serving? I'm talking to myself here. There are people that come to mind in a heartbeat that you and I could say, they don't deserve it. Aren't we glad God didn't say that to us? God is calling you to serve that person. Or is He calling you to serve that person? We serve and we wash feet, church, for this. Get this. Get this, church. We serve and we wash feet to show others who Jesus is. Jesus is not this hateful person. Jesus is not this pompous person, this better than thou person. Jesus is a servant. And when we hear this thought that, you know, I might be the only Jesus that somebody sees. I might be the only Bible that somebody reads. Start living like it, right? Me too. Let's start living like it because we need to serve to show others who Jesus is. People have asked if we teach that washing of the feet is an ordinance of the church. Just going to throw this out here real quick. Do we put other ordinances, or do we put it with the other ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper? Some churches do practice that as a literal and a command, specifically as an ordinance to wash feet. And, you know, personally, I and we as a church, we respect that interpretation of the scripture. I don't believe it's an ordinance, but it is an obedient to serve. It is to be obedient to serve. Does that make sense? You guys tracking with me? Okay. I'm not saying that they're wrong, but my interpretation, our standing as a church is this. We see that scripture and Jesus are teaching us here to serve. Okay? To serve others. You want to wash feet? Go ahead. Met with somebody a couple weeks ago that said, somebody starts washing my feet, that'd be the last feet they washed. Right? So, I mean, it wasn't mine. That was somebody else that said that. I think my feet are pretty. But verse 16, Jesus says this. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than those who sent him. Church, we serve Jesus. He is our teacher, our master, our Lord, the one who sent us to do His work. Reality check. We're not greater than Him. You and I are not greater than God or Jesus, and God just served another. He just served those that He led. He served those that follow Him. Jesus did the job of the lowest servant. These people's feet were probably nasty. Right? This might be like, you know, the president or somebody coming in and asking if he can clean my toilet. Right? Something like that. Jesus humbled himself to serve those that follow him. This brings us to verse 17. Let me say something real quick. Humbling ourselves and being a servant doesn't mean that we don't speak the truth. Are you hearing me? Okay. This doesn't mean that we don't share Jesus with somebody. This doesn't mean that we don't go to church. This doesn't mean that we don't live like Christ and share the gospel and preach the word of God, right? This just means that we do that and serve them and they'll know that we love them. All right, that was free. Verse 17. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. To know means to have knowledge, to understand, to perceive, and to pay attention to. If you understand this, If you get this mindset of being a servant and serving, doesn't just stop there, and if you do them, you will be blessed. The word blessed means happy. Really? Jesus is saying, you serve others and you'll be happy. Okay? Now again, different way of thinking. The world says you'll be happy if you're rich, or if you have a smoking hot wife or a handsome husband, or you have the best job in the highest position and you make the most money. I don't know why we were looking at it, but my wife and I, for some reason or another, we're seeing that Bill Gates is worth $79 billion. The next closest is some dude in Mexico, I think, that's like $70 billion. You know, and our mindset's like, man, Bill Gates, you're an American. Stay up there, man. Stay first, right? It's a different way of thinking. There's nothing wrong with us having things, material things, unless they replace God. Unless that's what we're after. Unless they're our source of happiness. Rich people commit suicide too. People with smoking hot wives and smoking hot husbands have affairs. Right? Carnal things don't make us happy like following Jesus makes us happy. Jesus says, as our example and our leader, he says that you will be happy if you serve others as I have served others. Who believes Jesus? All right? Jesus says you'll be happy if you serve others. I haven't quite picked up on that. I'm working on it, right? But that's crazy. If you're wondering how you can live like Christ, remember this passage, Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He is the only one that deserves to be served. And what does he do? He serves those that don't deserve to be served. Do you serve? Do you have a servant's heart? I want to talk a little bit about our identity in Christ. We need to know who we are in Christ. If we don't know who we are in Christ, then we're going to spend an awful lot of time and energy doing things to define our identity. Before I got into the ministry, I was a director of finance. People would ask me, tell me about yourself. Guess what I told them? I'm a director of finance. I didn't even say I'm a husband to my awesome, beautiful, lovely wife. Right? I didn't say that I have like this awesome family. I didn't say I go to church here. I didn't say that, you know, God blessed me with the house or whatever. Or that I'm ADD, you know. If you haven't figured that out. Right? Or that I'm an introvert. Right? I said what I thought identified me. Okay? Nothing we can do, no attainment, no honor, no accomplishment, or human recognition can define our identity. Why? Because your identity is not found in what you do, but in whom you are by the grace of God. You are who you are by the grace of God. Who are you in Christ? You're loved. But here's a question. Put aside this pride. Put aside this, I've gone to church. My grandma was Catholic. My brother's Methodist, you know, and they've prayed over me and all these other churchy things. Okay? Are you washed or not? Have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? This is serious right now. Okay? It's very serious. Is Jesus the Lord of your life, or are you an American Christian? You know, that I believe in God. Let me tell you, Satan believes in God. Judas believed in God. No fellowship. Are you washed? Knowing who you are serving, or know who you are serving, we need to serve one another, those you love and those you don't love. Now, this is really hard because there's a lot of people that don't like Christians. There's a lot of people that don't like me. I think I'm a pretty likable guy. But there's people that don't like me, and I'm to serve them. Not because I want to, because I'm not built that way. Because Jesus did it. Okay? We don't serve in order to find out who we are. We serve out of who we are. We are Christians. We are Christ followers. Christ has set the example in service. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power. Jesus was not insecure about His identity. So Jesus being the greatest, so for Him to take that lowly job of washing feet, washing toilets, or whatever that lowly job is, was not threatening to His identity. And I'm going to tell you up here, a self-confession, some of the times I have a problem serving is because I want to be looked at here as opposed to here. What if somebody sees me doing this little job? Jesus was not threatened by that. When we can only define ourselves by what we do, we will be so busy trying to do something that will put us in good light that we won't do much service. We won't do much serving. And when we are, but when we're firmly centered on who we are in Christ, we can be comfortable taking that lowly position without worrying about being insignificant. Jeff, listen. Right? Remember in verse 10, Jesus says, "He who has bathed is completely clean." Once Jesus has washed your feet and made you clean, church, you are clean. But also Jesus says in verse 11, not all of you are clean. Okay? Unless Jesus cleanses a person's sin, one can have no part with Him. Jesus wants fellowship with you. Okay? He wants your identity to be in Him. The question isn't, do you go to church or believe in God or help out or tithe or all this churchy religious stuff? All these things are good. In fact, they're great. The real question is this, is Jesus Lord of your life? Have you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed in your heart that God raised Him from the dead? Okay? That's what gives us fellowship with Him. Have you been saved by grace through faith? We have answered a few of the questions of who Jesus is these last 3 weeks. He is God. He is first. He is Creator. He is humble. He is Lord. He is the example. He is the one who came from on high to the lowest of lows. He is a servant. This is Jesus, right? He's not hypocritical. He's not a liar. He's not just a good man. He's not just a teacher. We need Jesus. This world needs Jesus. Your neighbors need Jesus. Your family members need Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you need Jesus. Hear me clearly. God, I just ask that distractions would be removed right now. Jesus came for you. Jesus came from the highest position of all. With angels singing to Him and serving Him to be here. So that He could live, be an example, and die for you. Jesus came, He died, He rose again. And now we serve a risen Savior. Is He Lord of your life? Do you really know this Jesus? Or are you just going off of somebody else's life that pretends like maybe they do know Jesus and just not living like Him? Right? Do you know this Jesus? I invite you this morning to pray this bold prayer. To ask God to let you see yourself as He sees you. To see others as He sees them. Ask Him to give you a servant's heart. And I'm going to give you guys some time to do that, but I need to make this plea. Bless you. Judas lived with Jesus. Judas heard the words, saw the face of Jesus. But he wasn't clean. Hear me, people. Hear this today. Because you go to church, because you tithe, because you have a cross on your wall, because you have a tattoo of a cross on you, because you, you know, say Christian things or listen to K-Love, doesn't mean that you know Jesus. Is Jesus Lord of your life? I know I'm a little bit over, but this is important. People, do not leave today without knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I beg you. Hear me? I beg you. Jesus wants fellowship with you. Jesus wants to be the Lord of your life. He doesn't give a rip about what seat you sit in or how many times you listen to K-Love. He wants to be Lord of your life. He wants fellowship with you. And because of who you are in Him, then you go to church and have fellowship with others and listen to K-Love, right? And read your Bible. And pray to Him and follow Him and follow His example and be like Him and share Jesus with other people. Jesus wants fellowship with you. Do not leave here today without knowing Jesus. Get this in your mind, folks. If you know Jesus, get out there and share Him. Right? Amen. Serve people. Serve your enemies so that they will know Jesus and that you can be in glory with them one day. Ask God to help you with that. Ask God to give you a servant's heart. Ask God to help you be like Him. And I'm going to be up here. Chris, can you come up here for me real quick and play? Give us some music. I'm going to ask you guys to close your eyes so that we have privacy and then people can raise their hands or they can come forward and pray. I would love to pray with somebody, or we can have somebody else pray with you in the back or in another room if you're worried about those types of things. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you have fellowship with Him? Has He washed you clean? Have you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? Do you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and He is your risen Savior? Please don't be shy. Raise your hand and say, Pastor Jeff, today I need to talk to you about that. Or you know what? I don't even need to talk to you about that. I'm going to pray and ask God to save me right now in my seat. Let me know. Let us know so we can pray for you. As believers, if we know Jesus, who needs to raise their hand and say, Jeff, whenever you pray that you would be a better servant, pray for me that I would have a servant's heart. Who would raise their hand and say, please pray for me on that. Thank you. I see these hands. Wow. God can change lives. I see your hands. Thank you. Be different than you were this morning. Live like Jesus. Father God, we love you. And we pray, God, during this time, we're just going to allow some time for you to work, God. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us see what you did for us and do that for others. Help us serve. Help us look like you. And Lord God, I pray, God, if somebody does not know you as their Savior, they're just religious but don't have you, that they would come to know you today, God. God, work in lives. Help us be different than we were when we walked in here this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.